Okay, here's something from Second John. Okay, in Second John, and you have chief elder and apostle John there is addressing there the elect lady who was also an elder, okay, of the saints in that particular location. And he says here, the elder and the elect lady and your children whom I love in the truth. It's interesting how many times chief elder and apostle John mentioned the word truth here in his second epistle. Okay, and he says, not only, but also all they have known the truth. Of course, truth is manifested in three ways here. It's concerning what God has said, what he does, and his product. Okay, the same thing with charity. Knowing that God is love, and he's the exact expression of his righteousness and holiness. That's why we express him on that same foundation. If it wasn't on that foundation, then it'd be feigned faith, okay, and feigned charity or feigned love. He says, who I'm known in the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us, should be with us forever. Because the product, we'll be talking more about the product today. That is the product of truth, as it takes root within the heart. Okay, when it takes root within the heart, then it's also the fruit of the lips. And by the fruit of the lips, God identifies with us, okay, which is charity. He says, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Again, he's talking about the elements. So if you have a highlighter, and if you're there in 2 John, okay, you can highlight some of these elements right here. Truth, mercy, peace, okay, grace. You can see all these tokens right here, which our Father has provided for us, richly provided for us, okay, since the very beginning. The treasures of the Father's heart, okay, and his pure conscience continually provides these things for us for our cycles of growth, so that we can be received of him and received back to him with increase. And this is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Again, truth and charity. Okay, we can see its fruit. Okay, its foundation is fruit. And this is another point of discernment in the elect lady and her children, because they were professing the stewardship. Those that profess the stewardship do not transgress against God, and therefore their sins are remitted. But those that transgress against the stewardship, their sins are retained. And when our sins are retained, the work of regeneration is thwarted, or is frustrated. And as Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, so that's some of the verses right there out of the second epistle of John. Why don't we jump over to read something out of the book of Jonah for a second. This is out of the book of Jonah, chapter 2, 7 through 9. And Jonah said here in his reflection, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. I thought that was kind of interesting. My soul fainted within me. It's the challenges. Okay, the challenges which were pressing upon him. He felt at that point rather weak. And same thing with the apostles felt. Okay, as they concealed themselves when Jesus is being crucified. When they concealed themselves, their hearts fainted within them. In other words, they had great reasonings of heart. They were trying to put everything together. And regarding what Jesus said and the present circumstances which are facing them. And Jonah faced the same thing. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto you, into your holy temple. Because his tethering of faith joined him with this perspective. And these were things which he remembered, he were taught, and he remembered. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities, which has to do the counsel of the sinner. Okay, the counsel of the sinner will always provide a stumbling block for faith. Because there is no faith in the knowledge of this world. See, the knowledge of this world has its roots within the kingdom of darkness and extrapolates everything from that kingdom. Even when it looks like it's something that, it looks promising, it's only a hook to derision. Say, so they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Okay, but I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. This is what Jonah said here. And I pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And we have vowed obedience to Jesus Christ. And we continue to sacrifice this knowledge unto him, okay, with a heart full of faith. And those just coming in, make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen. Have your Bibles open also to 2 Thessalonians. We pick up where we left off last week. Okay, and here we'll start. Why don't we start with Romans verse 15? where the Apostle Paul here is instructing the Thessalonians. Now, everything the apostles instructed, okay, those disciples and those students was always tethered to the vine. And we'll be talking more about that today. Considering when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, he was identifying himself, okay, as the staff, the rod, and the steward. Okay, the staff, the rod, the steward for your nourishment, okay, for the leaves of the tree, for the healing of the nations. And we talk more about that also. The leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations, and leaves of the tree are upon the branches, which also the branches are used as a staff and a rod for the purpose of leadership, healing, deliverance, salvation. So here the Apostle Paul is conveying the same mindset in his epistle here, his second epistle to the Thessalonians. We see also in the book of Acts that Barnabas and Paul, as well as also Silas and Judas, prophets, repeated in a like manner their cycles of visitations to the assemblies, okay, of those particular areas like Pamphylia, Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch. They revisited these areas and continually fleshed out the understanding for the saints there and the elders which they appointed, okay, any kind of questions or challenges that would continually surface among them and also from the doctrines and the teachings of those which were trying to engraft the covenant of Jesus Christ into the knowledge of the first covenant, that of Moses, called the Doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. That's what Jesus said, which things I hate. The doctrines and the deeds of Nicolaitans continually reflected upon the law or engrafted the law, okay, or weaved the concepts of the law into the gospel of Jesus Christ, which made faith of none effect. Making faith of none effect would be observing the Sabbath day, observing physical communion, observing physical circumcision, also tithing, observing the tithing. Okay. Those things which were required as points of contact in that first covenant are now considered as being unsanctified for the second covenant because we are drinkers of the new wine. Okay. That which is of the old wine, okay, is regarded that of that first covenant, the old covenant. Okay, but we are drinkers of the new wine, which Jesus gave at the Last Supper. That's why he said, this wine which I'm providing to you is that which is a covenant of my blood. And he says, I want you to drink all of it. This is what you're to dine on now. Not that which Moses gave, but that which I'm giving to you. Okay, the staff which I represent. So he goes on right here, in verse 15, we'll start there. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by a word or epistle. How did the word tradition there? Okay, now tradition has to do with an assigned practice. An assigned practice of this new covenant, okay, the covenant of Jesus Christ, has to do with the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, those things which the Lord has sanctified by this anointing. Not that which anointed Moses and Aaron, but that which has anointed the apostles. Okay, the apostles of the first eighth week, the apostles of the second eighth week, all those which are building the kingdom of God so that our reflection is of him as Jesus requested and prayed, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will is being done in earth as it is in heaven through the stewardship which he sanctified. If the stewardship was necessary for the first eighth week, then the stewardship is also necessary for the second eighth week. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, that which is of the dimensions of the waters must reflect that in faith of the dimensions of the fire. Because we have that grafted within us. We have his fire grafted within us, and that fire is that anointing. Okay, as we see, manifested itself on a day of Pentecost. Okay, they all spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Okay, and the elders, being chief elder Peter and also John, the other elders which were present there, also stood up and validated these things, that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Thy sons and a daughter shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay, a validation be set forth in this divine witness that this covenant was now sealed, that Jesus indeed rose again, physically rose again from the dead. His sacrifice indeed was received and blessed of the Father. That the blessedness would also flow down through the veins of the church, okay, with the body of Christ. So therefore, brethren, stand fast, he says here, which means follow this example of faith and remain at the altar. Stand fast, which means remain at the altar. Don't remove your foot from this position and just assign tradition. Okay, so we're grasping the horns of his mercy. Okay, we are also horns of mercy. And I saw in his hands horns. Okay, Jesus had seven horns and seven eyes. Okay, we can see that there in the book of Revelation. Not seven heads, but seven horns, seven eyes. Okay, which has to do with the seven spirits of God. That which the anointing will bring, okay, will also bring foresight. It will bring eyes of discernment and birth many children. Okay, the number seven right there is through the stewardship. Okay, through the stewardship and through this priesthood. Okay, many children will be born into the kingdom of God. The Gentiles will then indeed hear the voice of the Lord. Okay, it began, okay, with that which was set within Moses, okay, and also that which was set in Abraham. Okay, in Abraham, okay, we can see that many joined themselves to Abraham and acknowledged his stewardship through circumcision. Many joined themselves also to Moses. There was also Gentiles with them, which we can see within the letters there, okay, which were given in commandment unto Moses, this order of policy. The order of policy which was set within, and the order of policy and order of activity, these judgments were set to include the Gentiles, okay, as they were circumcised. We can see this manifested through the whole circuit there. Okay, the things when they came out of Egypt, the time they entered into the land of promise. Even the harlot Rahab, okay, was joined to the covenant of that which was received of Moses and now through the stewardship of Joshua. So therefore, brethren, he says, stand fast. I like the word stand fast and tradition. Traditions for your perfection. These are traditions for your perfection. And we'll talk more about that here just momentarily. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold. Okay, hold, which means grasp tightly this testimony. We're grasping tightly this testimony, which reflects Jesus Christ, not Moses, but Jesus Christ. And these are things which have been taught. That means that you heard by our teaching. We see this 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which are seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Our hands have handled. That's the key word. Our hands have handled the word of life. Okay, we have touched this stewardship, the things which we see, the things which we hear, as also Chief Elder and Apostle John talked about in the book of Revelation. Those things which I have both seen and heard, declare I unto you. Taught either by word or our epistle. Okay, and not to fall away into their derision, the derision of those which are outside of stewardship. Okay, those outside of stewardship, they transgress the law of grace. Okay, and Chief Elder and Apostle John brings that out in his epistle concerning those which sin not unto death and those which do sin unto death. The sin unto death and those which also we can see which happen in Diotrephes. Diotrephes was an elder, okay, which separated himself from the vine. Okay, he kicked out the staff, being Chief Elder and Apostle John. And he said a lot of malicious things against Chief Elder and Apostle John. Okay, we see this in his third epistle, okay, which is only 14 verses long. It's a short letter, but they show the transgression of Diotrephes. But Demas had a good report of all men, a truth itself. Yeah, we also bear record, and our record is true, as Chief Elder and Apostle John brings out. He has followed the divine pattern which we preached. Okay, therefore, Demetrius is one that you can trust. Okay, but here, Diotrephes was the very opposite. He refused not only those of other assemblies, as John brings out there in his third epistle, he also rejected those of other assemblies and denied apostles. We can see the same thing today. The false religious system has taught, and then the Satan in the false religious system has taught independence from the stewardship. Okay, and being independent of the stewardship, you're severed from the Godhead. Okay, but yet God is great in compassion, and he's great in his mercy towards the righteous. In his compassion, he still gives gifts, dreams, and visions, even to those that are not in covenant. We can see this throughout biblical history, okay, in the lies of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had dreams, but he wasn't in covenant. Abimelech, he had dreams, but he wasn't in covenant there. Laban, he had dreams, but he wasn't in covenant. God even spoke to Laban about Jacob. Of course, Jacob being the steward, and which means the Okay, God's staff there at that point in time, okay, rebuked Laban for his misinterpretation of that dream and revelation. Okay, so we can see that even Pilate's wife had a dream, okay, which her dream was about Jesus. And she says, have nothing to do with that man because I've suffered a dream and a dream. When she woke up with a cold sweat and shaking what she saw concerning the Lord of glory. It says, you're crucifying the Lord of glory, the creator of the earth. All right, well, let's go back here. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. Okay, I want you to follow this example which we have taught you, which has to do with your prayer life. Your prayer life is the most essential, you see, of your engrafting into the true vine. Essential, okay, as well as prophecy, praying in tongues. We can see this is played out in Paul's epistle here, Apostle Paul's epistle, in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. You want to make a note on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. It had to do with concerning the speaking in tongues and prophecy. Okay, that those which are severed from the stewardship are also severed from the covenant. Those severed from the covenant, okay, and he says here, their charity will not bring them to perfection. Okay, their charity will not bring them to perfection. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay, speaks of those things concerning that perfection there and lack of it. Okay, so reading verse 15 here, we can jump over to Peter here for a minute. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start around verse 12. Unto whom it is revealed, he says here in verse 12, unto whom it is revealed, such revelation is yet to be experienced, as the conscience was still defiled yet, and the veil was still upon the heart. As long as the veil was in the temple, the veil was upon the heart. Okay, all those that work with the earthly and natural things, okay, of that first covenant, whether it be the construction of the temple. Okay, those that construct the temple, you notice that the beast, the Antichrist man, is going to make a world proclamation that he is the Messiah. And you know where it's going to be? In the temple. Okay, in the temple, which means the temple will be constructed again. Okay, and everything that's of, okay, that springs of the soil and is marked by time is abomination to the Lord. Now we can see in the book of Revelation, okay, that he blasphemed God, the tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He blasphemed because he put the sacrifice of Jesus into carnal things. Okay, he substituted carnal things for the covenant of Jesus Christ. Okay, in substituting, that's exactly what the false religious system has done today. That's why we call it the false religious system, because it's counterfeit. It's the mannequin. Okay, it's the mannequin in the window. The public looks at the mannequin in the window and they look at it. Christianity is saying, your religion is no different than anybody else's. It's dead. It's just standing there. It's lifeless. There's no breath in it. But the window dressings look nice on it. Well, every religion in the world has window dressings on it in order to have certain eye appeal. Okay, to the ignorant public. Okay, they have certain window dressings for eye appeal, whether it be the prosperity message, whether it be the health and wealth gospel, okay, or whether it be the promises of the Satan's hook of promises, okay, of ascending gods, okay, or bringing about world peace, okay, world peace, or trying to bring equity to the chaos that's in the world today. Of course, the chaos is God's judgments. But the chaos first existed within the hearts of the wicked. Okay, the hearts of the wicked were tethered to chaos himself, Satan. Okay, the father of all iniquity, the children of wickedness, the offspring of unrighteousness. Those which are tethered to him use the knowledge of that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to block grace. And so therefore, because they block grace, God is sending forth these judgments, issuing the judgments. Not only the four horsemen, also the trumpet and the vial judgments, which will be soon coming after the rapture of the church. Okay, and to whom is revealed? Okay, we're back in verse 12 here. Everybody should be there. This is 1 Peter chapter 12, or chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom is revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. Okay, by them they have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's the Comforter, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Okay, which means the tokens. Then the tokens are not earthly, as Moses's, and the angels, the tether and the tutor of that first covenant, whether the tether and the tutor of the second covenant. Angels are the tether and the tutor of the second covenant. Okay, which means they bring unto us these gifts of the throne. They bring unto us the counsel of heaven. Okay, and bring unto us the counsel of heaven and the gifts of his throne. We identify with the Lord himself. We identify with his government upon his shoulders. The government upon his shoulders makes provision for these things. So his name is called Wonderful. Why is it wonderful? Because it stands outside the ignorance of this world. Okay? And standing outside the ignorance of this world is not, you can say, born of common things. It's not born of the soil. It's not that which is, okay, the things which are removed from the soil to construct the things of that first temple, the first covenant temple. Okay, whether it be the crops of the soil, or the minerals that are taken, the iron stones that are taken from the soil, or the trees, or its fruit, or its harvests. Okay, none of those things are necessary. Our profession of Jesus Christ is without the necessity of temporal things. And of course, Apostle Barnabas brings it out in his epistle, as also Paul brings out in the book of Galatians. Okay, let's go on here. So the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They delight to oversee this in you. This is a new method, a new gospel. Okay, a new method, a new gospel, okay, was in a new provision. And this is what Jesus talked about. Behold, the kingdom of God is with you. The kingdom of God comes without observation. The kingdom of God comes without observation, which means it's not subject to the Sabbath day. Because I'm the Sabbath man. It comes not with observation. Those that observe the covenant of Jesus Christ stand outside of the constrictions of time because we're children of the anointing. Those which are the anointing stand outside of the condemnation of the things of time because the things of time are subject to the curse, corruption, death. Whereas where the thief steals, kills, and destroys. Okay, everything of this dimension bears the face of death in it. Okay, we can see that every time you log on and read the news, whether it be the newspaper or reading online, you see death unto death. That's the dimension of these waters. God put the curse there. God put the curse in these dimensions of the waters. Okay, so here he says, which things the angels desire to look into, and they're looking into it right now. His ministering spirits are actively at work, bringing recall to your understanding. That's what the anointing does. Brings recall to the understanding. Okay, that which you hear, okay, with the ears of faith, okay, is also what you express with the lips of charity. Which things the angels desire to look into. This is the tether and tutor of your salvation. Okay, either you're tethered and tutored to the throne of God, or you're tethered and tutored to the prince of darkness, ignorance and death. Okay, now there's many that are tethered to the throne of Satan, which profess themselves to be tethered to the throne of God. But the anointing being absent, okay, is self-evident within their choices. Okay, the choices of their conscience is evident of that. They choose the text over the anointing. They choose the voice of their own reason over that which is the voice of the Spirit, the voice of their own reason, the voice of their own logic. Okay, so wherefore, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, which we're just speaking of. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So we're casting off the earthly priestly robes. But we're also donning on the robes of righteousness, as we see in the book of Revelation. Okay, the robes of righteousness are those things which are without spot and without wrinkle. Why does it say without spot? Because it's not contaminated with earthly blood. Okay, it's not that which the Levites wore. The garments that Levites wore were spotted and wrinkled. Okay, with the splattering of the blood when they slit the throat of their sacrifices. Okay, they also had the smell of smoke in it. They had to remove those butcher aprons and continually cleanse themselves with water before they were to advance the altar in the second time, and a third time, and a fourth time in their shifts, okay, which were appointed to them. Our garments are without spot and without wrinkle. They're glistening white. The purity of the conscience stands to the eye. The purity of the conscience stands to the eye. because our eye bears the equity of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have the foundation of truth within us. Okay, we are those which follow the Spirit, because they that are led of the Spirit, they are the children of God. Okay, because we're born of the Spirit, we're led of the Spirit. Those are the false religious system, though they have received that, okay, the spark of that awakening, yet they stand only at the threshold, not entering into the house of the Lord. Okay, you have to enter the house of the Lord to receive the benefits of the Father. Okay, and we see this played out in that first covenant. Okay, the high priest would feed his whole family from the meat of the sacrifices. Okay, his whole family would benefit from that. And we are partaking of the meat of our Lord Jesus Christ in the house of our Father as sons and daughters of God. We are seated at the table of the King, okay, as princes, okay, and princesses. Our adoption is sealed by this anointing. And let's go on here in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, we now have a new perspective, okay, with the garments, okay, that are without spot and wrinkle. Okay, we are also being without spot, without wrinkle, and also without guile. Even as the 144,000, were not influenced by the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots, that's why their garments also were white and glistening. And it says, for they are as virgins. Okay, they were not engaged in the fornication of the false religious system or adultery of the false religious system. See, fornication has to do with unfruitful contact, and adultery has to do with that which is raising children of another house. Okay, raising children of another house or strange children. You also read about the same thing in the writings of Ezra and Nehemiah. The strange children had to be separated from the sons of Levi. Okay, was commanded by Moses, okay, not to mingle with the people of the land. And the children spoke in dialects, strange languages of the Amorites that were conversant with the Jewish people. And their children spoke half the speech. And it was an offense to the Targatha, okay, being the steward and the priesthood, that which is of Ezra, okay, and Nehemiah and the Targatha. A great separation had to take place in the days of Joshua, son of Jozadak. When he stood before the altar of the Lord, his garments were still spotted, okay, and were corrupt until the angel of the Lord touched him. Okay, and the separation was completed as the sons of Levi were being purified as with soap. When we're also purified by the knowledge of Jesus, now you are clean by what? By the words which I have spoken unto you. This is the soap of my kingdom. This knowledge, and by which you are cleansed. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, he says right here. Okay, not being drunk with the wine of that first covenant, okay, but rather dining upon that which is provided for us through the second covenant, is Jesus. Jesus' wine and not Moses' wine. And this is what his mother Mary said. Okay, what he says unto you, do it. Why did she say that? She had an understanding. The stewardship is being born through him, and he is the new wine, this new knowledge he's sharing. And all that he says, and you do it, he turned the water into wine. Okay, everything that he touches changes its composition. It changes the element from that which is common to that which is supernatural. He changed the water into wine. And the six earthen water pots represented that which is the flesh of Adam. Okay, that he, through his word, would change the nature of man, that which is his first birth being water, into the second birth being that of the covenant. And we are children of the covenant. We're children of his wine. We're children of his vine. We're children of his stewardship, because we're engrafted within him. And that's what you see in the illustration there, where Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay, the branches has to do with the rod of the stewardship. The rod of the stewardship comes through me. And this is what we're replicating in, at this present time, the second eighth week. As it was in the first eighth week, it's also transpiring in the second eighth week. Through that same anointing, we having that same spirit of faith. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope here, hope unto the end, watch in the prayer and hope unto the end. Okay, I highlight the word hope there. We apply ourselves, see, through this perspective and through this goal. The hope. a hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That which the anointing provides for you, and that which the grace of God unfolds to you, is for this goal of perfection. Well, let's read on here and we'll see this. As obedient children, because we're now in the house of the Lord. Okay, being in the house of the Lord, okay, our habit of life has to change. Okay, when we were free to unrighteousness, we did those things, okay, which were in sympathy to our own signature and the record of our own soul. We're in sympathy with those things. And our fellowship centered upon those of like nature, like they have a feather flock together. Okay, you see, herds of deer, which of course join themselves to those of like nature. Flocks of birds, okay, those which are join themselves to of like nature. They identify by sound, they identify by color, they identify by behavior, they identify by smell. We identify by faith. Okay, we identify by faith and also the fragrance of that charity. Okay, we are attracted to the fragrance of charity as a bee is to the fragrance of a flower. Okay, and we know, concerning the birds and the bees, okay, that through this joining and mating is also increase. Okay, so we increase with the increase of God unto a perfect man, to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Okay, a fullness of the stature has to do with a mature person. You're maturing, little children, young men, and fathers. And chief elder and apostle John brings that out in his epistle. Okay, and it's the first epistle there, chapter 2. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Why are they forgiven? Because you're now joined to the stewardship. I write unto you, fathers, because knowing him that is from the beginning, understanding the responsibilities of the stewardship. Okay, and also your contribution in building of the house of God. I write unto you, young men, because you overcome the wicked one. Understanding the stewardship and this knowledge gives you that shield and helmet, okay, and that sword of the Spirit. Okay, all these things are necessary for your mobility, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he brings these things out, little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, so that you overcome yourself, Satan, and the world. Okay, and this, of course, he brings out in verse 18. So wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, verse 13, be sober and hope to the end. Okay, being sober, which means your eyes are focused on this goal, okay, concerning the perfection by revelation. Now he says here, unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that these are the gifts he's provided for you. These are things he seals even within your heart while you're in deep sleep. In your sleep, he's active, giving you level one dreams, level two dreams, speaking to you, okay, sealing these things within you. Even when you wake up and don't recall these things, they're still there. Why are they? Because you're aware of them. Okay, you might not be able to identify it, okay, or explaining it, okay, but it's there. It's in the conscience. So as obedient children, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves, we brought that out. Now we're not following the Levitical priesthood any longer. So we're not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust, Moses' covenant. He says here, former lust, he's talking about that covenant, okay, of consumption. That was a covenant of consumption. Why do we call it the covenant of consumption? Because the high priest ate of the meat of the altar. He ate of it. The former lust of your ignorance. It was restrictive because of the conscience was yet veiled because it was defiled. Okay, as long as the conscience is defiled, it's veiled. But we have been those, okay, that have been awakened as one from the dead. And the anointing entering into you, okay, lifts you up and gives you a new perspective as one that is raised from the dead. Okay, and here it goes on, verse 15. So we're continually experiencing these things until Christ will come and fulfill all things in us, the baptism of light. But as he which has called you is holy, now here we see a reflection of himself. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy, perfect in him, in all manner of conversation. Okay, a new priesthood, but it's a new priesthood with different tools, a new lifestyle that reflects the things of heaven. And this is what the Apostle Paul brings out. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ sits. Now, he says, set your affection things above. He didn't say, set your affection things on earth, which has to do with the first covenant. The false religious system sets their heart on things earthy. Okay, they want to resolve social issues. Okay, they're trying to resolve conflicts of conscience, abortion, words that are cleverly used in order to mislead the thinking, That's the kingdom of darkness. It keeps the soul untethered from God. It keeps also the thinking rooted within the conflicts of this world. God never called the church to resolve the conflicts of the world, okay, not through any kind of laws, oppression, or constitution. Okay, he called the church unto holiness to himself, okay, which also, okay, we are committed at his altar, the altar of Jesus Christ. Okay, not the altar of blood or flesh, okay, or of wheat, rye, okay, or the fruits of the field. Not the labor of man, the labor of the Holy Ghost. Okay, the labor of the Holy Ghost works in silence. But the voice of that silence is heard in your charity. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Verse 16. What the law says, okay, here, okay, is to be holy as he is holy. We are to be clean as he is clean. Be holy as I am holy. In the first covenant, the sacrifice was to clear the offense. Our sacrifice, being Jesus Christ, clears us of all offense, but the knowledge of his kingdom, that we may know him. That's why he says, I've called you out of darkness into light. I have reduced the effects of that kingdom of darkness on you. So the things of that kingdom are fading within your understanding, but yet the kingdom, the things of God's kingdom, okay, are gaining momentum and light. It's getting brighter and brighter. So be holy, for I am holy. The holiness must be equal to the one that gives it. Be holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father and prophesy these things, confirming your destiny, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons, see the word, respect of persons, it does not regard your genealogy as Levi, it doesn't regard race or culture. So it says without respect of persons. So if you call on the Father, prophesying this knowledge, okay, which does not have its roots within the flesh, judge according to every man's work here, but it now stands in the door of the conscience. And by this, it purifies your sacrifices as you travel in this dimension of waters. And that's why he says here, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear at his altar, because he's holy. Why does this say this here, sojourning here in fear? Knowing that he is our source of life. If God was to restrict or withhold grace from us, it'd be like restricting and withholding water from a plant. But we are the planting of the Lord. And he officiates over our welfare, okay, with jealousy, because God is a jealous God. Okay, he takes interest, okay, he takes great interest in his divine work. Okay, and the angels even marvel at his interest that he takes within your charity. He takes great interest in it to where he disgusts your name in the presence of the angels, as Jesus said. Jesus said the same thing. Okay, concerning there's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels upon that repentance. The person is abandoning the rhythm of their own record and embracing the record of life. We're also abandoning the record of death and embracing the record of life. Okay, through these cycles of your growth. Okay, and he goes on here in verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, that is the tokens of the first covenant, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, okay, which has to do with the natural and carnal impulses which drove your passions. This was to protect your culture, your comfort zones, or your race, your comfort zones. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, tithing, water baptism, okay, physical communion, from your vain conversation, he calls it vain. Why does he call it vain? Because there's no fruit on that tree. There's no fruit on it. As a tree that's barren of any kind of fruit. Okay, and he calls it a vain conversation by traditions. There's the word tradition there. Now, we're to keep the traditions. Remember, the Apostle Paul used it. Now, Chief Elder Peter, an apostle, was using it. Here he says this tradition is a bad tradition because it's a tradition of death. Okay, it's rooted within the perspectives of the flesh. Okay, the natural man. Why? Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why does he receive the things of the Spirit of God? Because they're foolishness in him. They can't put a value on them. They don't see or understand the value or its outcome. So they look at it as rather being rather elusive. So from your vain conversation, and it was received by tradition of your fathers. It was by this commandment of Moses. It is dictated the laws and also your principles. Okay, that was just that first covenant dictated those things to the flesh, okay, by the law and by the principle. But he says here, but the precious blood of Christ. He goes right back down to the covenant, doesn't he? So I like the word blood there because we're talking about those things which are of this covenant, that which Jesus redeemed in the dimension of water by his fire, which was also revealed at his baptism. Jesus' baptism was a reflection of the water and the fire of that first covenant. There was water and fire in the first covenant, which is also in the first court. Okay, the water of washing and the fire of the altar were in the first court, which is a reflection, okay, of Jesus' baptism. He was being washed as a high priest of our profession, and the anointing came upon him upon that completion by John the Baptist. Water and fire were joined together in the person, and his name was Jesus concerning water, Christ concerning fire, and a mediator of this covenant, which he's provided in a record of himself for our faith today. The precious blood of Christ, a divine bonding, okay, of water and fire, as a lamb without blemish. See, it's all the lamb here. Okay, this lamb wasn't thrown upon the altar of Aaron, okay, but upon the altar of wood and lifted up, as it was on an altar of lamb, or an altar of Aaron there. As a lamb without blemish. Blemish here, and we see that with Jacob's separation, okay, from Laban. We'll be talking about that too in a moment here. Without blemish and without spot. There he goes, without blemish, without spot. Now we talked about that. Okay, concerning our garments are without blemish and without spot. There's no wrinkle in it. Okay, neither spattering of blood, because those things were the things of the first covenant. If a believer is tithing, their garments are spotted and wrinkled. Okay, but if your tithing is in charity, okay, then it is without spot, without wrinkle. It's perfectly cleansed. All right. We see the same thing in the book of Genesis. I will be going there here in a moment, in the book of Genesis. All right, who really was foreordained? Highlight the word foreordained there in verse 20. Okay, we talked about that also earlier. This is what the Father planned of himself there in his bosom. It was planned eons ago in the Father's bosom. And then now it's revealed to us today, okay, within a dimension of water and a dimension of time. Water is subject to time. Fire isn't. Water is subject to time. Before the foundation of the world, this was sealed in the conscience of every Adamite. It was manifest these last times for you. It was to benefit you at this time, and concerning the sacrifice of the Son of God, who by him do believe in God, they do, who by Jesus Christ now, not Moses, believed in God, thus by this new power, okay, which now is engrafted within us, that raised him from the dead. And when he raised him from the dead, it took him from the common course of nature outside the common course of nature. And that's the work of regeneration today. The work of regeneration is not tethered to time. The work of regeneration is not tethered to corruption. The work of regeneration is tethered to the eternal one, outside of time, outside of corruption, because our treasures are in heaven. This is what Jesus was bringing to the attention of the Jews of the first century. Okay, his teachings were to bring their understanding along, to show that there is going to be a transition from Moses to himself, from carnal things to spiritual things, from visible things to invisible things, from common things to things which would be uncommon. That which a natural man would not embrace, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they were not embracing these things because they loved the darkness rather than light. The darkness has to do with the shadow of the tabernacle. The light has to do with the shadow of Jesus Christ, his knowledge. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Okay, a glory which is a new house. The house of Solomon was a reflection of that revelation of Moses. And also passed on to King David, passed on to the son of David, Solomon. Jesus is also called the son of David. Okay, but his construction was not with stone. His construction was that within the heart. Okay, and that's where he says, "It gave him glory that your faith and hope." See, there's the word faith and hope there. Your reflection and your goal might be in God only, him himself. Okay, he's governing our destiny by this joining of knowledge. Okay, and by this joining of knowledge, we're being cleansed. Okay, crucified to the flesh, which is earthly things, okay, but risen again to heavenly things. We're a moth, you can't get to it, and the rust can't diminish it, and the thief can't pocket it, can't get to it. Seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth. There it is again. obeying purification through this knowledge. In the absence of truth, there's chaos. And we see a lot of chaos in a false religious system. We see these things continually popping up in articles and religious magazines. Things are continually popping up concerning the splitting of churches, the church is now selecting, creating a gospel that will reflect, the mindset of society. Okay, and there's great divisions and reasonings of heart regarding those things. Okay, only truth can dissolve the doubt, but that which dissolves the doubt, they don't want. Okay, they rather live in a darkness of doubt rather than the light of truth. Okay, so we're obeying the truth. Okay, facts which are consistent is character, purpose, and plan. Well, where is the character, purpose, and plan? It's put in the person. Character, purpose, and plan. It was put in the person. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Through the stewardship, we know him. Through the stewardship, we understand the direction of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, the direction which the stewardship gives is set you on that path which the Spirit will enter into and bring your peace, life. Okay, obeying the truth of the Spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren. There is truth and love. Okay, so we see the elements again manifesting themselves. Okay, if you don't understand these elements, you're not going to understand the divine pattern. Okay, that's why God issued the definitions of these elements, okay, in order to remove the confusion over the direction of the Spirit. Okay, that's why it's important to go through the IDCCST courses, okay, in order to get an established understanding of these elements is very important. Okay, and as you continue to pray in tongues, okay, and continue to attend the assembly and offering your charity, these things become more clarified, deeper in understanding, and the sight of your perspective becomes further and further and further, that you begin to see him more clearly. Okay, so he says here, love one another, pure heart fervently, because the cleansing of the conscience is the fire purifies the gold in the heart. Fervently. Okay, fervently has to do with going through a process. Okay, and this process, of course, is bringing you to perfection. Being born again. Now you understand the concept of being born again. The understanding of being born again of the false religious system sets it within the premises of a spark of illumination of the existence of God. Okay, the spark of that existence. Okay, the existence of God and the condition of the soul. But you need knowledge in order to lead you into the covenant. Okay, that's absent of the preaching of that gospel, the false religious system. Okay, they have a show of hands, and a show of hands is giving in their assemblies. They're accounting it as being a convert. No, it's not a convert. Water baptism, okay, does not produce a convert, but truth will produce the convert. Grace and truth is the product and substance, okay, of this new life, being born again. Okay, not that of the flesh of the waters, okay, but that of the spirit of the fire. That which is born of the spirit of the fire, okay, can pass through the altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, into the throne of God, into the door of the throne of God, into the very conscience of our Father, okay, as he is pure. Okay, being born again, not of corruptible seed, of that which is earthy, but the incorruptible, the invisible, the eternal seed, by the word of God, the knowledge which saves the soul, which lives and abides forever, okay, as Peter brings out. For all flesh is as grass. Okay, so Peter's bringing contrast for understanding. All flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower grass. That's what we're just discussing here. The grass withers. Okay, everything born of the soil during the harvest and every season, okay, which we see through the cycles of life, okay, withers, and the flower thereof falls away. Okay, as also chief elder James, Apostle James writes in chapter 1, verse 11. But the word of the Lord, which has to do with this divine knowledge and the true seed, okay, the volume of the book, okay, is his word here, Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord endures forever because it increases without death's restriction. Okay, death has a restriction in the flesh. Okay, death even has a restriction in the imagination. Okay, but the Spirit of the Lord increases without death's restrictions because it puts us within the mind of Christ. This is the word, the plan of the Father, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay, now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians here for a moment. All right, we come back to 2 Thessalonians. Now unto God and our Father, verse 16, now unto our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, which shows the cycles here from the bosom to the bosom, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation. I like the word everlasting consolation there. The gifts that carry this divine legacy. These are the tokens of hope. And by these tokens of hope, this is to trust Him. Trust is built through contact. Okay. The word of the Lord provides the premises, okay, and the substance for this trust to be molded together. Okay. Every point of contact is a link or a chain of this tethering. Okay. So that our trust is in Him. Okay. When we read about trust there in the book of Psalms, okay, or also in the writings of the prophets, Psalms and writings of the prophets there, okay, it was built on the premises of contact. Okay. But the false religious system reads the word trusts and puts it within the premises of ignorance. Okay, so that their trust is blind. Their faith is blind. Their grace, the word grace, has been misdefined as concerning justice, as a divine favor. Okay, they removed it from a point of contact and activity to that which would sterilize their faith. Okay, they don't even know what it is, but they use the words loosely and in their ignorance. And they're trying to forge a relationship with God just by will worship, okay, by force of will. And they're trying to recreate an experience through all their revivals, okay, through their tent revivals, through their gatherings together, through the music ministry, okay, or through their movies. Okay, the latest movie that came out is trying to, okay, forge a trust for conversion. But you can't do it without truth, okay, and outside of the covenant, it's an abomination. Wherefore, as he goes on here, good hope through grace. You see the elements are there again, grace and hope. Okay, it's going to comfort your hearts. There's the word comfort again. This is the tradition we're talking about. The tradition which follows this pattern gives us comfort. Comfort your hearts. This gives confidence for faith and establish you. It gives you this anchor for every good word and work. Okay, this is expression of our charity and through your priesthood. Every good word of your expression of charity and work of your priesthood. We labor with charity. Okay, by laboring with charity, okay, we also avoid the gainsayers. They create their own traditions to reflect, okay, the moral code and to despise his goodness. They replace regeneration with psychology. Okay, let's go to Genesis for a minute. Okay, in the book of Genesis, we'll read some interesting things about the rod. Now, that's what you see in the illustrations on Facebook. Okay, you see Jacob peeling the rods so that the white in the rods would appear. All right. We also see that Aaron and Moses had their rods blossom. We also see Jesus identifying himself with the same concept of a tree. Hey, I'm the vine, you are the branches. See the rod, the staff, the tree. Okay. In these things here. And the white that appears into it, okay, is for multiplication as your purity of faith. Okay, is the premises for the purification of the heart, for the fruit of the soul. Okay, now we go to verse 31 here. Okay, we're going to read through this rather fast as you get your sacrifices ready. Now, Laban said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. Feed and keep your flock. Now, Jacob is a steward now. I'll pass through all your flock today. Now, this is a separation for true identity. Removing from there, that is from my house now, okay, all the speckled and spotted cattle. Okay, all the speckled and spotted cattle represented that of the law. Okay, and all the brown cattle among the sheep and all the speckled and spotted among the goats. Of such shall be my hire or confirmation. Because I'm going to take the imperfect cattle, which is hard to sell, for their spots unto the Gentiles, equal to Gentiles. Okay, it's difficult to sell that which is spotted because people want, okay, that which is the wool. Okay, which would be easily dyed and not have different variations of shade in it. So shall my righteousness answer for me, which means taking forth all this, I will perfect these. That means by wisdom, the wisdom of God, for profit. And I'll leave these which now, which I'm taking to myself, I'll go with me now as a sign. So Jacob is pointing out a sign to Laban. Laban wouldn't be able to see the sign, but Jacob understood it. That's why he says, so shall my righteousness answer for me. When Jesus comes, the Jew and Gentile will be accepted in the covenant. It will come from my hire before your face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brought among the sheep, they should be counted stolen with me. Now, verse 34. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to your word. That's why Laban, in the future there, asked, what does this all mean? Okay, now, Jacob wasn't going to spend hour after hour and hour after hour explaining it to him. Okay, but okay, he did share with him in regarding the promises and revelations of his, the stewardship of Abraham and that of Isaac, his father, okay, and that which he also received upon leaving and a separation from Esau, his brother, okay, and that which also the Lord revealed to him there in Padanaram. Well, let's read on here. So Jacob, there he moved that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them to the hand of his son. His sons there, which, of course, Reuben at this point would be 13 to 14 years old. Now he set 3 days' journey. I like to read 3 days there, because it represents a time of empowerment. And after, when he separated, that's what exactly what happened. A time of empowerment happened. A multiplication process began. Jacob became stronger and stronger, and Laban's flocks became lesser and weaker. So he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Okay, so we're going to see a rod here. Now Jacob took him rods, cite the word rods there, this token signs of stewardship, and grain popular, now which could be mirrored a rod, or these had to come from a tree. Jesus is divine. We are also the rods, the staves, and of that tree, stewardship of the tree. Jacob took him green rods of green poplar and hazel and chestnut tree, okay, and peeled. He circumcised them. He peeled right strakes in them and made white appear which was in the rods, okay, which had to do with consecration for increase. So we see the rod of Jacob. See, Jacob placed peeled rods in the trough and the cattle multiplied. The rod of Moses brought deliverance. The rod of Aaron also budded and brought distinction and discernment. The rod of Jesus Christ is stewardship, which staff budded into a tree. We are the trees of righteousness. Okay, because the vine equals the rod equals the staff of faith. Now we see this also in Revelation 22:2. Okay, where you can understand, okay, why is it the Lord is talking about a tree in the midst of the holy city, New Jerusalem? Well, this is why. Now, this is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. Now, in the midst of the street of it, that's the city, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Hey, this is a token for our faith, and it's a parable for us. Jesus is divine. We are the branches. Here's the tree of life. Hey, and we can see that the rod and the staff came from the tree. What was in this tree? Well, the tree would bear 12 manner of fruits, which has to do with the 12 signatures of Adam. Okay, and it yielded her fruit every month, okay, which has to do with the cycle of life. The cycle of life. Because God put that cycle of life within the Adamite, the female Adamite, the cycle of life is there. Every month. It was a depiction for contact. To the contact also be multiplication. Okay, we see this with the staff. Okay, and so, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. You see that again? The leaves of the tree, healing of the nations, as Aaron's rod budded. Okay, as Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You have to partake of me to be benefit for your faith to be beneficial. All right, now, let's head back here to Thessalonians, get ready to close. All right, now in Thessalonians, as he starts, gets ready to start here, the next chapter, the thought continues here. So we see also the tradition of the vine. The tradition of the vine, the branches of his kingdom. We are led by the staff of his anointing. Okay, the staff of his anointing. So comfort your hearts. He established you in every good word and work. So finally, my brethren, that's what he brings out here. Now, the breaking between the thought right here, okay, is just was the selection of the translators. It wasn't in the writing of the of his letter. Okay, it was put there by translators. But so let's go on here in the thought. Because our circumcision is complete in the cycle of this operation. So finally, brethren, take serious and focus here regarding that is your refuge. That you come full circle in his fullness. So finally, brethren, pray for us. Okay, and the same thing, the apostles, okay, I pray for you, you pray for me. And by praying one for another, okay, we're showing this divine unity and tethering. Okay, the tethering remains pure and steadfast, that the word of the Lord may have free course, which is without restriction. Death, the death of the flesh brings restriction. Okay, but the life of the spirit, it brings the expansion. So that, as the prophet said, strengthen your stakes, okay, and lengthen your cords. Okay, in other words, okay, the tent is going to continually expand. Okay, we are in the tent in the house of the Lord, okay, which is going to continually expand. As the heart is, okay, as the heart is, so is God's kingdom. Okay, we are expanding his kingdom, strengthening the stakes, which is to do with its knowledge of truth, and also lengthening the cords, which has to do with walking in the Spirit. That through these things, you become fruitful. Okay, and becoming fruitful, okay, you're benefiting the kingdom of God.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.